They have published some of the most well-known authors in the Southern movement, from the Kennedy brothers to Jimmy Cantrell. Pelican Publishing Company has an incredibly diverse library of over 1,300 titles to their credit, with about 60 new titles published annually. If you like books about history, literature, humor, Cajun cooking, travel, or just about anything else, Pelican's website, ePelican.com, is the place for you. With online catalogs and secure online shopping, it's never been easier to tap into the wealth of knowledge and reading pleasure that Pelican has to offer. At ePelican.com, you can browse all of the Pelican's titles and shop for just the right book for yourself or a gift for someone else. Treat yourself today. Visit ePelican.com. That website again, ePelican.com.
All right, folks, welcome to a live broadcast here at Dixie Broadcasting tonight, and we are very pleased to have a special guest with us on the broadcast tonight for this Pelican Pages segment. As many of you know that have been listening over the past year, we try to do a Pelican Pages segment on a regular basis here at Dixie Broadcasting, and Pelican Publishing Company is by far the largest Southern publishing house that is in existence, especially one that will actually publish politically incorrect material. Pelican Publishing puts out a lot of new material every year from different authors that give the truth about our history and our heritage. They're not afraid to do that, not afraid to put that out, and we are very pleased to have Pelican Publishing as one of our sponsors here at Dixie Broadcasting. On the broadcast with us tonight is a very special guest. We've been looking forward to this interview for quite a few months, waiting for this book to be ready for release, and now it's here. And so without further ado, allow me to welcome to the broadcast Mr. Brian Sisco, who is the author of War Crimes Against Southern Civilians. Brian, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, Ray. Appreciate the opportunity to come on.
Well, I know that there's been quite a bit of anticipation in the Southern movement here for the last year or so, waiting for this book to come out. I can remember when Amy from over at Pelican Publishing first informed me that they were looking forward to the book coming out this, late spring, early summer of 2007. I've been waiting ever since then because it's a topic that we really don't have a whole lot of material about that we can use when we go into battle with the other side, with the truth. And so I'm just glad to have you on the broadcast, and this is our first interview with you, so that makes it even more exciting for us.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I've been giving a talk with the Stephen Dilley Institute and with the different some of the Confederate veterans groups and that kind of thing for over a year now, and finally the book's available.
Well, that's great. Folks, we're going to be talking to Brian now throughout the interview tonight about his new book from Pelican entitled War Crimes Against Southern Civilians. And as we're going through the interview tonight, one of the things that I would encourage you to do is to go to the Pelican website and actually look up the book for yourself so you can see the book we're talking about. You can do that by going to ePelican.com. That's www.ePelican.com. And then in the search field up at the top, there's a category that tells you you can browse or search the books there at Pelican. And just when that field pops up, you can type in Brian's last name, Sisco, C-I-S-C-O, or you can type in the title to the book, War Crimes Against Southern Civilians, and it'll pop right up there for you. We encourage you to take a look at the book, and you can also order the book at a sale price right there on the Pelican website while you're listening to the interview. Well, Brian, I know that some of our folks are familiar with you, but we probably have listeners out in Dixie Broadcasting land tonight that are not familiar with you in the past. So if you would, just give us a little bit of history about who Brian Sisco is.
Well, this is my fifth book. I started writing about 20 years ago. My first book was State's Rights Gift, the South Carolina General of the Civil War. That was a selection of the History Book Club, and went on to write Taking a Stand, Portraits from the Southern Secession Movement. That's a study of the movement that led to Southern Secession from the eyes of different participants. And then in 2004, I had two books come out. Henry Timrod, a biography of the Southern poet, then Wade Hampton, Confederate warrior, conservative statesman, which won the Douglas Southall Freeman History Award, and then now War Crimes Against Southern Civilians.
And now you actually make your home in South Carolina
in
now.
Orangeburg,
right?
South Carolina, sure do.
That's great. Now, Brian, how did you first become interested in Southern things, and then in particular, how did you become interested in the topic for your new book that we're talking about?
Probably when I was a young teenager back during the Civil War centennial. I'm telling my age now. Life magazine came out with a series on the war, and I got into that, and one thing led to another, and I've just been a student of the war about all my life, I guess. But then I, about 20 years ago, decided to get serious about it, do some research and writing, and one thing led to another.
Well, I can...
Originally from California. Came out to South Carolina to go to the University of South Carolina in 1966. And I've been here ever since, except for the time I served in the Army. I'm retired from Firestone, and just writing full-time now.
Well, you're definitely the kind of Californian that we will be happy to have more of to come settle down here.
Refugee.
I can tell from the titles of your other books there, especially... about states' rights gist, and also about Wade Hampton, and then about the Southern secessionist. You're right at home here with the Dixie Broadcasting crowd, so we're glad to have you tonight, Brian.
Sure.
Now, what prompted you to write about this particular topic related to the war?
Back in 2003, at the League of the South Summer School, Dr. James Kibler gave a little talk on Sherman in South Carolina.
Yes.
And man, what he talked about would just make your blood boil. Probably a year after that, Dr. Clyde Wilson suggested to me that I'd try and do this, write a book about war crimes. And I thought about it and then jumped into it and did the research and wrote the book.
Well, those two men are definitely two of the most... I don't know, they can definitely get your Southern passions aroused rather easily, Dr. Kibler and Dr. Clyde Wilson both. And I think most of our folks that have heard you speak, from what I understand, seem to have the same impression from you. So,
well, I appreciate that.
So you're definitely in good company, I'd say. Now, I know that the book has just recently been released from Pelican. How long has it actually been out there and available?
It's about exactly 1 month now.
Great.
It is at the very end of April.
Now, of course, we want to encourage our folks to order the book directly from Pelican, and,
sure,
and folks can actually, I think, save a little bit of money if they go online there at epelican.com to do that.
Sure.
But I would imagine that probably, as with most of the other Pelican titles, folks could actually go down to their local bookstore and pick up a copy of this or either place an order of it. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly, sure.
Okay.
It's available everywhere.
Great. Folks, we're talking to Brian Sisko about his new book from Pelican Publishing entitled War Crimes Against Southern Civilians. And we encourage you to go to the website there and take a look at it while we're talking about the book. Now, in the book itself, I know that we're obviously dealing with that wonderful Christian Yankee army that came down here to liberate not only the slaves but all Southern people from the fetters of the Dark Ages.
Oh, yes.
Tell us a little bit, Brian, about this the myth itself, and then we'll get into some of the details.
You know, I've always known about Sherman, and we all know that the March to the Sea and what Sherman did to South Carolina and that kind of thing. But we've never really—I've never really gotten into the details of just how mean this thing was and how hate-filled. I don't know how else to say it. It just staggers the imagination.
It certainly wasn't what is generally portrayed, where the Yankee army came down here, they freed all the blacks, and the blacks just thronged about them.
Sometimes they did, and then they starved by the thousands.
Yes, yes.
But it's just rape and murder, just trying to kill every living thing sometimes, torturing people to make them tell where their valuables are hidden. I mean, it's just horrendous.
And the impression I get from the references you give in your book, Brian, is that there really was no distinction made by the Yankee soldiers among their victims as
absolutely
to who
not.
They were.
Absolutely not. Black or white, rich or poor, didn't make any difference what their politics were. They're just here to steal and plunder and destroy and vandalize. And that's it.
And of course, that was a great chasm of difference there between the Yankee Army as they marched through Georgia and the Carolinas and Louisiana, and the army of Robert E. Lee in Northern Virginia that marched through Pennsylvania.
Exactly, exactly. I remember an incident my Hampton biography when Stuart made one of his raids, and Confederate soldiers coming to a house in Pennsylvania in the middle of the night and knocking gently on the back door, asking, can we please buy a cup of coffee? That doesn't sound like Sherman.
No, it doesn't, does it?
Quite a difference.
I know that in the history of Western civilization, the type of crimes committed by the Yankee Army as they marched through the South really is unparalleled. At least up to that point in Western civilization.
Arguably, Lincoln and his regime returned to the barbarism of the past. This is something that in Western civilization over the centuries, by common consent, it just seemed to be understood that war would be confined to the combatants. And it seems like in the War for Southern Independence, we just went back many centuries. And of course, it's been like that ever since. It's almost a shame that we have to explain to people nowadays that war is supposed to be confined to combatants.
Yeah, that
it's
certainly was
to be waged on civilians.
That certainly wasn't the Christian tradition
exactly.
In Western civilization, was it?
Exactly. That's correct.
Now, well, Brian, am I correct in understanding that the Prussian military of the late 19th and then the early 20th century under the Wehrmacht and later under the Nazi regime as well learned many of their total war tactics from studying Sherman's plunder? Is that correct?
I've heard that. I don't have the documentation on that, but I have heard that.
Well, listen.
There was also a story that about Sheridan giving his unsolicited advice to Otto von Bismarck during Germany's war with France in 1870. About him telling the chancellor that you should leave civilians with nothing but their eyes to weep with over the war.
Wow.
And the chancellor was said to be shocked by the advice, but
as
things turned out, that's the way the world has gone since.
That's certainly like a Yankee to give an unsolicited opinion about anything and everything. Well, Brian, what I'd like to do, we're going to take a break here in just a second. When we come back from the break, I'd like to delve just a little bit into some of the content. We don't want to give away all the jewels from the book itself, but we want to kind of whet people's appetite about what's in the book.
Sure.
And encourage them to go and get a copy of it. So, folks, we're going to come back in just a few minutes after this break, and we're going to talk to Brian about some of the different atrocities that the Yankee Army did perpetrate against the South. And one of the things I hope you get from the interview tonight is that all of the information that's going to be made available in the book is very well documented. There's a great list of resources in the back of the book that's probably as valuable, no offense, Brian, but probably his list of sources is as valuable as anything else in the book. And he's taken much time, put it all together, made it in a very readable form. And this is the kind of information that our folks need to have to be equipped to go out and fight the good fight and dismantle the myths that are out there. So, folks, we're going to come back out. We're going to come back in just a second, and we'll be talking some more to Brian. So take a break, get something to drink, and listen to this song. We'll be right back. All right, folks, welcome back to Dixie Broadcasting, and you are listening to a live broadcast tonight. This is another Pelican Pages segment, and we're interviewing Pelican author tonight that's no stranger to many folks in the Southern Movement. His name is Brian Sisko. Brian makes his home there in South Carolina and is the author of a brand new book from Pelican entitled War Crimes Against Southern Civilians. I want to encourage you, while you're listening to the interview tonight, go to the Pelican website there and take a look at this book. It's epelican.com is the website, and you can do a search for either the title of the book or Brian Sisko's name, either one. One of the things I would like to encourage our listeners to do, when you go to the Pelican website tonight, take a minute to send them an email and just let them know that you appreciate them sponsoring Dixie Broadcasting and that you appreciate them publishing the works of men like Brian Sisko, because there are not too many Southern publishers out there that will actually have the backbone and courage to publish these works that are politically incorrect in today's climate and that are pro-Southern. And so we want to make sure that Pelican Publishing knows we appreciate that and encourage them to continue to do that. So take the time, send Pelican Publishing an email tonight. It won't take you but a minute to do that. Brian, we're back now, and thanks for staying with us through the break there.
Sure.
Brian, one of the things that the book talks about in several places is the Lincolnian myth associated with Abraham Lincoln. Tell us a little bit about what that myth is and how it relates to the story of the crimes against civilians in your new book.
Well, this goes back to Lincoln in his second inaugural address, where he suggests that somehow the war is God's punishment for slavery, all the property destroyed, all the bloodshed is ultimately God's judgment. This is the same speech where he himself claims to have malice toward none, charity for all. This, you know, by all accounts, is not even a believer. But this, you know, the rest of the Western world during the 19th century managed to end slavery without killing hundreds of thousands of people. But Lincoln encouraged this myth that somehow only by the most horrendous of wars could American slaves be free. I just wonder if he was trying to wash the blood from his own hands. It's like he's saying, you know, God did it, not me. What did Jefferson Davis say in his first address to the Provisional Congress? All we ask is to be let alone. All we ask is to be let alone. There would have been no war had Lincoln not started one. It would have ended instantly had the invaders simply gone home.
And I can imagine Mr. Lincoln's act of trying to pass the buck on to the Lord for this war and the horrendous things associated with it. I imagine that's something for which he has already and will later answer as time goes on in eternity.
I suspect you're right.
Brian, let's talk about some of the details of the book as far as the content go. We want folks to buy the book, so we're not going to give away everything. But
sure.
I know one of the things that I found very interesting in reading about the book is about how the Northern Army behaved itself in Tennessee. Because we are often told, especially in high school textbooks and even in college, that because Tennessee was the first to be quote-unquote brought back into the Union, that we were somehow given the impression that the folks in Tennessee, they really weren't so pro-South in the beginning, and so as a result, the Yankees were probably real kind to them, and it was just kind of a huggy-huggy, kiss-kiss kind of thing. And that's not at all the picture I get from reading your book.
No, it was more a reign of terror than anything else. Reminds me, frankly, of Europe occupied by the Nazis.
Mm.
When the Nazis overran Norway, they installed Quisling as their local dictator.
Right.
That became a byword for that kind of person.
Mm.
And, of course, Andrew Johnson was the Quisling of Tennessee. He did his master's bidding with Abraham Lincoln. No, there was no democracy in Tennessee under Abraham Lincoln and Johnson.
And I know that, of course, probably the most notable person that's in the minds of many of our folks in the Southern Movement when it comes to the Yankee occupation of the South would be Beast Butler there in New Orleans. Now, many of our folks will already be familiar with Benjamin Beast Butler, but right. some of our folks probably are not. So give our folks a little bit of a rundown on some of his atrocious acts committed by him.
The thing that he's probably most famous for is his woman order, where he said that any lady of New Orleans that insulted one of his soldiers would be treated as a prostitute. I think that was meant more as a slap in the face than an actual threat, perhaps. But the biggest crime probably for Butler was the fact that he executed a man for flag desecration.
Hmm.
If you can imagine. Probably the only man in American history ever executed for flag desecration. A fellow named William Mumford, who tore down a United States flag that was raised over the Mint just prior to the occupation of New Orleans. And he was arrested later and hung for flag desecration. It's also worth pointing out that General Butler and his brother made about $3 million apiece in corruption and graft and theft before they went their way. But he was the only man that was specifically singled out by the Confederate government to be executed as a criminal if he was ever captured.
Well, from what I understand, Jesse James did his best after the war to return some of that money.
Okay.
I think Beast Butler was one of his targets after the war as well, some of his companies. Now, what about the burning of Columbia and the treatment of the folks there in South Carolina?
Well, that's a case where the people that burned the city blamed the victims. First thing that General Sherman said the morning after the fire was, he told Mayor Thomas Jefferson Goodman, "It's true our men have burnt Columbia, but it was your fault." he claimed that the citizens of Columbia had made his men drunk. Well, of course, then he confided in a letter to his brother, the Senator Sherman, that no matter what the opinion of the country, it was all right. But the thing about the burning of Columbia, it's the theft and just the brutality of it. A woman that was a slave, a servant of the Episcopal minister Peter Shand, was raped by seven soldiers of the U.S. Army, and then had her head held down in a ditch full of water until she drowned. That's the kind of meanness and brutality that went on in Columbia.
Hmm. And, of course, that went on all across the South as well.
Yeah.
I think many of our local communities, if you can find some of the older folks still around who remember hearing the stories as children themselves, they will. There are many Southern towns who still have stories
that's,
of...
That's something I've found here in South Carolina. It seems like every family has a story of what happened when Sherman came through. It's just passed down.
Maybe that's what we ought to do, is start collecting all those stories and have everybody send them to you, Brian.
The United Daughters of the Confederacy have done a good job with a lot of those stories.
Is that right?
Yes, they have many volumes of their stories that they've published.
Wow.
And,
now, with, of course we're told that the Christian Yankee Army came down here to liberate the slaves. Once they got down here among the slave population, that's not typically the way that it went, however. Give our folks a little bit of an idea of the way things usually went.
Well, one source that I found extremely valuable is the slave narratives. This is back during the Depression. The Works Progress Administration hired writers to go out and interview former slaves who are by now mostly in their 80s.
Right.
And this is a wonderful resource. It's online at the Library of Congress. It's a huge amount of material, but those old folks tell it all. And I went through all of that and found a lot of information there. Just pure meanness. Hanging a slave by his thumbs, for example, trying to make him tell where valuables were hidden.
Hmm.
Cursing and just belittling. Of course, rape was pretty common. Happened again and again wherever the blue soldiers appeared.
And, of course, the black men Many folks assume that they just gladly joined the ranks of the Yankee Army, but the truth is they were basically seized as property of the United States government. They were not given their freedom initially by the Yankee Army. They were seized as contraband.
In many cases, they were put to work on confiscated plantations, hired out to contractors who virtually starved them to death. Women were put to work as prostitutes. Thousands of slaves who followed the Yankee Army, in many cases, were simply left to starve. Back in 1865, the state of Louisiana published a report on the conduct of federal troops in their state. And it's just horrendous, the things that went on.
And, of course, there were many, there were many freed blacks at the time that the Yankees came through, and they were treated the exact same way that the slaves or the freed whites were treated.
Oh, absolutely. Nothing shocked a Yankee soldier more than to find black Southerners who supported their country, the Confederacy.
And
there's a story in Louisiana of Dubriel and Amy Olivier, who were free blacks, had their own plantation. They were slave owners themselves. And when the war began, Mr. Olivier raised at his own expense a Confederate company.
Wow.
To go to war.
Yeah, you don't read that in any high school text. well, folks, Brian's book is just replete with specific examples of all the general things we're talking about. So if you want to find out the nuts and bolts and the actual pieces of information here, you're going to have to get a copy of the book to be able to have this information, but it's definitely valuable information that all Southerners ought to have, and even if you don't memorize it to the point that you can spit out all the facts and figures, you definitely ought to have a copy of it on the bookshelf so that you can pull it down and either show it to someone or pull those facts and figures out when the time comes that you need that.
What I've tried to do is cover this subject in 24 concise chapters. I don't try to make this the encyclopedia of war crimes.
Right.
This is a survey of war crimes. In fact, one of my favorite comments on the Amazon website was a fellow that wrote in saying that he was going to read the book and he had planned to underline everything important, and he quickly gave up and said it's all important. I mean, that's a compliment to me because I think I like to write tight. I don't like to have any superfluous information in there. I like to keep it to the point.
Well, listen, I can say this from already having read a good portion of the book and still working on the remaining part, that it is a very readable book. And some of the books that have come out, especially in right after the turn of the century, they had a lot of good information in them, but they were not nearly as readable as the work that you've produced for us. And so our folks definitely need to have a copy of that. Brian, what do you hope the readers are going to ultimately take away from having read this book?
Well, Dr. Wilson hit the nail on the head when he wrote that he hoped that readers of war crimes, quote, will have a more sober and true and less self-righteous understanding of our country. That's certainly my hope.
You know, after having read the way that the government in Washington treated all of the Southern civilians, I find that their ways of explaining things and dismissing their responsibility for things isn't too much different than the way Yankees in Washington run things today.
No, you're right. And some of these comments on these discussion rooms and that kind of thing, I mean, it sounds like Sherman wrote some of these. I mean, a lot of things just haven't changed.
I can imagine.
Professor Harry Stout of Yale University Divinity School recently said that, talking about Sherman, he said Sherman's religion was America.
Mm.
You know, that explains a lot.
It
then and now.
Certainly does. We still have that same Unitarian mindset from the Yankees that we had that started this thing.
Exactly right.
Now, you did a lot of research to produce this book for us. What shocked you the most, Brian, about the different things you studied yourself?
Well, probably how widespread this was. All my life I've known about Sherman, what he did in Georgia, South Carolina, but this just started out in Missouri, Tennessee, Virginia, Louisiana, just everywhere. This was standard procedure for the Yankee Army. It's just everywhere. And then, too, that just the pure meanness, it's almost demonic, some of this hatred. It's part of the campaign in South Carolina when Sherman came through. It was called the War on Dogs. Mm. They had it in their minds that all dogs had to die.
Wow.
I mean, it's just crazy. They'd go through Columbia ripping earrings off the bleeding ears of women.
Wow.
I mean, it's opening new graves, trying to find treasure, period. I mean, it's just horrendous.
I know here in my hometown where I grew up here in Georgia, the story is that as Sherman's army came through down here, they actually ripped all the pews out of the local Baptist church and stabled their animals in there. And then they went to the city graveyard, and as you said, they began disinterring the bodies there, trying to find what they could rob.
Uh-huh.
And they actually disinterred the body and broke down the headstone of a War of 1812 veteran.
Oh, I get it.
So there was a man who had fought for their liberty and destroying his grave and being disrespectful to a veteran who fought for their liberty. That's just almost beyond comprehension.
Isn't that something? I know in Lexington, Virginia, they desecrated a statue of George Washington thinking it was Jefferson Davis. Okay.
they knew about as much about our history as they do today.
I think you're right.
It seems that some things just never change.
You're right.
Now, Brian, tell us, are there some other, I think you've already kind of hinted around a little bit, is there something else in the works from Brian Sisko now?
Well, I tell you what, Telecom's got me so busy promoting this one that I may have to wait a little bit. I'm not sure what's going to come next.
Well, that's great. Now, how did you come to choose Pelican as a publisher for this book?
I met Dr. Calhoun a few years ago, and of course, Pelican's reputation has always been that they will handle controversial topics. And this book is just about as controversial as it comes.
Yes, I would say so.
So Pelican was just a natural.
Have you had any reviews or any comments from the world of academia about the book yet?
No.
And I know
not yet. I probably will before it's over.
Yes, I'm sure you will.
This is the book that's going to be loved or hated. It's going to be one star or five stars.
Well, let's hope that every Southern university has at least one history professor that will have this on the reading list.
Well, that may be possible for you. You're right. There are some good folks out there.
Brian, are you a member of any particular Southern organizations that are out there?
I'm a member of the South Carolina League of the South. And
great.
I'm a member of the Sons of Confederate Veterans.
Great. And by the way, I'm a member of the League of the South and the SCV as well. We definitely try to encourage all of our listeners on the radio station here at Dixie Broadcasting to join one or both of those good Southern organizations if you're a man. If you're a woman, well, there's certainly the United Daughters of the Confederacy, and the League of the South takes men or women as members, and so we'd love to have you be a part of any of those three good Southern organizations. And if you don't know how to find information about those, you can always send us an email to Dixie Broadcasting, and we'll definitely help point you in the right direction for any of the three of those. Brian, anything else you'd like to say about the book before we head out of here tonight?
Well, I just appreciate the opportunity to talk about it, and I sure encourage your listeners to get a copy.
Well, I know we've kept you on a little bit longer than we had promised you
we would.
We just appreciate you sticking around. Folks, we've been talking to Brian Sisko. He has several good books out related to Southern history and Southern heritage. But his brand new book that has just been released in the last month from Pelican Publishing is entitled War Crimes Against Southern Civilians. And I would encourage you to go to the Pelican website, take a look at the book, and you can even order it online right there from Pelican at a reduced price. So go to epelican.com, take a look at the book, and order it right there online. And as I asked you earlier to do, when you go to the Pelican website tonight, do me a favor and send them an email and let them know that you appreciate them sponsoring Dixie Broadcasting. And also let them know that you appreciate them continuing to publish pro-Southern titles, mainly because no one else out there will hardly. So send them an email, encourage them to continue doing that. And folks, I think that's going to wrap it up for this Pelican Pages segment, but we encourage you to sign up for our free email update from Dixie Broadcasting, because we regularly send out email updates when we're going to have different authors on from our Pelican Pages segments. And we encourage you to do that, and you'll find out other things about the broadcast that'll be coming up with special events from time to time each week as well. So go to DixieBroadcasting.com and sign up for the free email update. Brian, thank you again for being on the program with us tonight, and we hope that you'll come back and be with us again.
Thank you, Ray.
Okay, folks, good night, and God bless.
They have published some of the most well-known authors in the Southern Movement, from the Kennedy Brothers to Jimmy Cantrell. Pelican Publishing Company has an incredibly diverse library of over 1,300 titles to their credit, with about 60 new titles published annually. If you like books about history, literature, humor, Cajun cooking, travel, or just about anything else, Pelican's website, ePelican.com, is the place for you. With online catalogs and secure online shopping, it's never been easier to tap into the wealth of knowledge and reading pleasure that Pelican has to offer. At ePelican.com, you can browse all of the Pelican's titles and shop for just the right book for yourself or a gift for someone else. Treat yourself today. Visit ePelican.com. That website again, ePelican.com.